This is a continuation of a history interview with Mamie Jones, and the date is April 30th, 2005. Mrs. Jones, could you tell me once again what your full name and birth date is?
Oh, it's Mamie. Do you want my maiden name?
Sure.
Mamie Adeline Carland Jones.
And when and where were you born?
At Broken Bow, Nebraska, in a sod house, on August 28, 1900. And I had seven brothers, and I was the only girl.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a joyful event for your
parents. It was, because my brothers all took care of their little sister.
That's good.
They were all older except one. I had one brother 2 years younger than I was, but the rest of them were all older.
Are any of them still alive now,
no,
too? Are you the only one?
I've outlived everybody in the family.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like you to talk to me again about what brought you to La Grande.
My dad lived in La Grande. My dad and mother had separated, and she had passed away, and so he built a little house for me in La Grande, a little two-bedroom house on an acre of land. He deeded it to me in about 1920 or somewhere along in there. And so I moved then to La Grande.
Tell me about that house. Where was it?
It was on at 1912 Russell Street.
Uh-huh.
On the corner of Russell and Cherry.
Can you describe that house for me?
Well, it was just a little two-bedroom house, and then it had a little bedroom off of the back. It had a little back porch. And that later, when refrigerators got so you could get them, you know, why, we put the refrigerator out there, and then we made the other half of the place a little bit of a bedroom.
Did this house have electricity?
Yes, we had electricity, and we had an electric pump. He drilled a well in the basement, and we had a little electric engine on it to pump the water.
Who drilled this well?
He did.
Who's he, your father or
uh-huh.
your husband?
Uh-huh, my father.
When he built the house?
Uh-huh. Oh, my father could, my husband couldn't build them, pound the nails straight.
I see. So you did have water then in the house?
Uh-huh, we had water in the house and electricity, and we had a bathtub and a toilet in the bathroom, but no wash basin. We had to use just in the kitchen, we had to use water, and had to use wood stove, which was really nice because in Nebraska we had to use coal. You didn't have any wood like that, you know, so it was really nice to have nice wood to burn.
Now, were you familiar with cooking on a wood stove already when you came?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the only thing we had. I didn't have an electric range until, I don't know what time it was, but I got an electric range.
Tell me.
I thought it was terribly slow.
Now, we previously had talked that you learned a lot about cooking and canning and all of that, that you taught yourself.
Yeah.
And tell us about that.
Well, the government used to send out little bulletins and things, and so I would send for all of those and send for any, you know, like a different Calumet baking powder and Royal baking powder, and those would put out little free cookbooks, and I'd always send and get all of those that I could to read.
Can you give me some examples of what you might have learned to cook with that? Would they be like cookbooks for baking?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Were there books for canning?
Yes, I have a canning book. I think I still have it. I have some, I think, I'm not sure, but I think I might still have some little old cookbooks.
Did you teach yourself how to cook with these booklets and things like that?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Huh? How about the canning? How did that work?
Well, I learned to can I learned to can everything and make jelly, you know, do all of those things.
How is that different from the way we can now? Can you describe the
Well, now, nowadays they have water bath. I think they have a water bath. They have big kettles that they put the things in and put them down and fill it, put the water up just over the top of the jar and cook it for so many minutes, you know.
How would you do it? How would you have done it? What were some of the main things?
Well, some of the things like we'd cook, like peaches.
How would you can that?
You'd take and wash your jars and put them in hot water, keep them warm, and then you would heat your peaches with the sugar and some liquid on it, you know, and then you'd dip them in there and wipe off the top and put the top on and seal it.
I see. Was there a way of knowing they were sealed then, or did you
Yes,
have
because
to?
They would, the heat would go down, the suction would kind of pull that lid down and it would pop. And if that lid wasn't popped, it wasn't sealed, so you had to either do it over again or use it. Gee, quite often we just ate.
Use it that night?
Yeah. Would use it, uh-huh.
How long could you keep canned peaches or things that you would can that way?
I don't know, but it's a long time.
Mm-hmm. How about, can you describe this, you had told me about preserving eggs that you would use later. How did that?
Well, they had something they called it water glass, and I have a jar down in the basement. I still have it, which I made sauerkraut in and dill pickles and mix those eggs.
Uh-huh.
But you'd put this water glass, and it would kind of form a kind of solidify a little bit, and it would preserve those eggs. They weren't so good to eat, you know, to have like scrambled eggs and things, but they were fine to cook with, you know, for baking pies and cakes.
Now they stayed in the shell,
mm-hmm.
and you just put them in this?
And down into this liquid, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. How long could those keep?
Well, from one season to the other, I guess.
I see.
We usually used them up.
And now you had talked to me about storing vegetables and things like that before you had a refrigerator in the mm-hmm. basement or in a cold cellar.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, you put, like we had in the basement, we had three bins. Dad fixed three bins, one for potatoes, one for carrots. And then you'd take, sometimes he'd dig a hole out in the yard and would put some carrots down in there and some cabbage. You'd take the cabbage and turn it upside down, just have the stem part, you know, sticking up. And store it, and it would keep.
Then,
when you dig it out in the winter time and have it,
you, as you needed it, you just go get it then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What vegetables did you grow in this? It sounds like that the garden you had at this place was bigger than the house.
It was quite a large garden, and we raised. Well, we'd have like peas, green beans, and turnips, and radishes, and corn, lots of corn. People like corn, you know, they come to our house to get fresh corn on the cob, you know, they like that.
Did you sell some of these items, or
not,
trade them?
A little
or?
Bit. Sometimes we would, but quite often we'd trade, you know, more or less than we did.
So would you help your father out with some of these things? Would you give a lot of that stuff? Did you say he lived across the street? Or
There was another little house on the corner, and he lived in it. Some of the times he lived with us, and he lived. He used the little bedroom off the back porch.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did you stay in that house?
Oh, let's see. We lived in there. We lived there.
Well, how about this? Were you living in that house when you moved to Union, or did you live somewhere else?
No, I didn't live anywhere else. How did it happen? I started to work in the bank in Le Grand. One day I went to the bank and the manager asked me how I'd like to work in the bank. And I said, well, I didn't know anything about a bank. One time I was there and there was, you know, to cash my husband's paycheck. And he said, well, he said, I think you could do all right. So I went in and I did. I started working in the bank about 1941.
And you didn't know anything about banking when you say he just asked you one day when you walked in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just asked me if I'd like to work there, so I did. And so ordinarily I started in the statement, you know, where they put out the statements every once in a while, and the safety deposit boxes. And then I'd cancel the checks and file those. And I kept learning different things, and usually they had two women that were bookkeepers, and usually before you went into a window as a teller, you had to go through the bookkeeping department. But I didn't. I went right from the back part statement window into the teller's window. And then when we moved to Union, why, I transferred and worked out there till I retired.
Right. Now, you told me earlier that you used to walk to work. Mm-hmm. From this house on Russell Street.
Oh yes, I used to walk a lot.
Tell me about that. Tell me about the walk.
Well, it was about a mile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you wear? What kind of,
Well, we didn't wear slacks in those days, so I don't know, or good solid shoes and dressed warm.
For example, you might walk in high heels for your
business
clothes.
Oh no, never walked in high heels.
No,
we wore those only for dress up.
I see. And it was about a mile. How long did it take you to get to work?
I don't remember how long.
Mm-hmm. Was it a chore?
Hmm?
Was it a chore to walk to work?
Oh no, I liked to walk. I did lots of walking. Mm-hmm.
Did you walk with others?
Not very often. I didn't have anybody else to walk to work, or you worked up there.
That was going that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you walk in bad weather as well?
Mm-hmm. Unless it was really, really bad, you couldn't. But most of you hardly ever missed a day.
Mm-hmm. Is it different now from when you used to walk in terms of going through that neighborhood? Did you observe a lot of changes over the years to the neighborhood that you would walk through on your way to work? Did that change a lot?
I don't know just how you mean it.
Well, I mean in terms of buildings coming and going, or housing, or things like that.
Not too much new building, no, not too many. There are a few houses along the way, but not too many.
I see. I'd like to talk about the grocery. Now, which one was first? Jones Grocery or Greenwood?
Greenwood.
Greenwood was first.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose this could apply in either case. What kinds of things did you keep on the shelves?
Well, cereal and coffee and... you could go in the store with a dollar and you could buy a pound of coffee and a dozen eggs and a loaf of bread and maybe some hamburgers for a dollar. And my husband put in a lot of penny candy. In those days, penny candy, little candy bars are about as big as what they sell now. I don't know what candy bars are now, but they're expensive. He put in, and we'd get kids from all over the whole, on the other side of town, that'd come over there to buy candy.
Come to spend their pennies?
Uh-huh. And then another thing that they'd buy was yeast cakes, and they were little square yeast cakes, kind of like putty. Some of the kids like those to eat. And we had a little store in back of us, and somebody said, well, they'd go in there and they could get a yeast cake. Oh, 4 cents, I think it was, something like that. I said, how come? that they were cheaper over there than they were in our store. The three they were cheaper in our stores because they buy pennies worth of candy.
I see. Well, now, what was a yeast cake exactly?
I don't know. Well, it was what they used to make bread with, but it was kind of soft, and a lot of kids like to eat it. I never did, but a lot of kids did.
Just like to eat it like a candy bar or
uh-huh.
a snack?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How were they packaged? How were they packaged?
Just a little square. Probably an inch and a half square, and I don't know if they probably didn't have foil in those days, so probably just wax paper or something, I don't know.
I see. How about coffee? How was coffee packaged then?
It was in cans like it is now.
Still?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes packaged coffee was in a paper bag instead of a can.
How about flour? How was flour?
They put
then.
Flour and sugar in 10-pound bags.
Were they paper bags or cloth
mm-hmm.
bags or what
yeah,
kind of bags
and,
were they?
Uh-huh. And then later they got so that they put flour in a cloth bag, and that's where we took the flour sacks and made tea towels out of, you know.
How were these items, how did your items get to the store? How? Did you have one person who brought these
they
things?
Had,
did you get deliveries from several?
Well, they had a warehouse, and my husband quite often would go up and pick up what we needed. You know, he'd make a list. Because we didn't have enough money to store it in great big amounts for them to deliver. So he'd get a broken case of something, you know, that we sold. And that way he could go and pick it up.
So,
as it's called, the interior grocery.
I see. So he would go pick these things up
mm-hmm.
That you needed. You didn't
the
have them delivered for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
What other kinds of things could you buy at this store, grocery market that
we had at the store?
That you had at the store.
Well, we had some canned goods. I can remember when they, like, canned red salmon for 10 cents a can. And then Heinz used to put out puddings, fig pudding and some other kind of a pudding. We'd sell those, and they were kind of a luxury item, but then we did occasionally would sell those.
Well, how would a luxury item be different from the others?
They'd be a little more expensive, of course. Uh-huh.
What about signage in the store?
About what?
Signs. What kind of signs?
Signs?
Yes.
I don't remember any signs.
You didn't have advertising signs or things like that. Were there items in the store that you would have to package up for customers?
Well, the only thing would be like sugar.
Did you have to would you package that up for the customer
sometimes,
according
uh-huh.
to how they needed it? They didn't come prepackaged?
Yeah, no.
Were there other items like that didn't come mm-hmm. prepackaged?
One time we had a basket full of peanuts because we had a cat that liked peanuts.
Uh-huh.
And we bagged those and they would buy them, you know. Can't remember anything else. We didn't have paper sacks, you know, like they have now.
Right. What did you use?
You had a roll of paper that you pulled out and a string, some string. I've got a ball of string down there sat on a pedestal-like thing, and you'd bring it up and wrap it in paper and wind the string around it and break it off.
So it would be like making a package then rather than a bag?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a cash register?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. And had scales, and about every so often there was an inspector around that would inspect the scales to be sure that they weren't cheating anybody.
Were your scales always on target?
Mm-hmm. We never had any problem.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk again about this record book, this ledger book that you kept credit items in.
Oh.
Can you describe that book, how it was? Tell me about the book itself.
Well, it just like a sales book, you know, you had regular sales books. And you made a list of what they had. And it had
columns in it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you added them up at the bottom.
So let's say that I came into your store and you decided to take a chance on me and give me credit. You'd write my name in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you write down the individual items that
mm-hmm.
I take, or do you just put the total?
No, I wrote the individual items. I had a list of them down there, and then you'd add it up, and there's more than one. It's like a sales book. Oh, you know, not too big. And
oh, sort of like a ticket book?
Yeah, I guess.
Sort of uh-huh. Palm size?
Yeah,
And then, would I have to sign this? Or
no,
you would
no,
just...
No, just trusted you.
I mean, was it carboned? Would I get a copy of it? Or did you just keep it there?
And I just kept it there. I don't remember of any carbon.
Uh-huh. I see. And then, what would I do to take care of that? Did I come in the store? Did you send a bill? What happens?
You come in most of the time and pay it occasionally, you know, at the end of the week. Or when I see some of those mills would work at the mill and work at different places, and when they'd get paid, then they'd come in and pay their grocery bill.
I see. You have said before that not all of these bills got paid.
No. No, some of them. Then when they got in debt to you, then they go someplace else. You know, they'd quit buying from you and they'd go someplace else and buy groceries.
Start a new line somewhere else.
So when I went into work at the bank,
right.
Some of these same people would come in, and I collected quite a little bit of money after I worked in the bank, because they knew that I knew they had some money in the bank.
Would they just pay you at the bank then?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever communicate with any of these other stores? Would somebody call you and say, Mrs. Jones, Michael Minthorn is here to mm-hmm. get credit? It never worked like that.
No,
you didn't necessarily check
no.
with each other?
No.
Mm-hmm. Then, what were there any differences when you went to the other grocery, this Jones grocery? Was it a bigger store?
Yes, quite a bit larger store.
Now, is this the store that was across from Riveria School?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, uh-huh. Yes, well, it was quite a bit larger.
What additional items would you keep there in that store?
I don't remember. We'd have bread. Some of the bread came from, we had a local bakery, and then we had a man that delivered bread from Idaho, I think it was, he would bring bread in, and then if it didn't sell that day, they'd pick it up, and they had an outlet for day-old bread someplace.
So you didn't keep bread more than one day?
No, uh-uh.
Did you sell bread in the earlier store?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And would that have been done the same way?
Mm-hmm.
So every day you would get new bread?
Yeah, huh. Mm-hmm.
Was it popular? Was it just a...
Well, you got so you practically knew about how much to buy, so you didn't usually overbuy very much, you know.
How often would you order from the bread man?
Did you do it on a daily basis? He'd come in every day, uh-huh.
So you would know when he came in that day how much to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you get these by the loaf? Mm-hmm. Did the bread come by the loaf?
Yes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it came sliced, just like it does now.
It did. Mm-hmm. How was it packaged?
Oh, I think more or less like it is now.
They were in plastic bags
mm-hmm.
then?
I don't know if they were plastic or wax, but probably... Uh-huh.
You think it was wax then?
Probably.
Let's talk about the bank for a minute. We've talked about the bank a little bit already. Tell me about this way that you knew that it was safe to walk in the bank.
Oh, well, when I lived in Union, the manager of the bank would go in earlier than we did. And we'd come down and look in the window. Well, he had a little gadget kind of like that, you know, small. And he'd put it up in the window someplace, not always the same place. And we could find him, and we knew that it was safe, you know, for him to, that no one was in the bank.
Okay, Mrs. Jones has described picking up, she picked up my small tape recorder, and she's described putting that in the windowsill as a way of knowing that it was safe to come in, and mm-hmm. it wasn't. Would you know this the night, did you know this the night before what the signal was going to be?
Mm-mm.
How did you know from day to day what the signal
well,
would be?
Well, we knew it, we knew what the signal was. I mean, the little thing that he put up there, you know. But
it just wouldn't necessarily be in the exact same
place.
No,
it wouldn't be in the same place.
But you knew it would be in the window.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did they use this signal at the bank in LeGrand as well, or a similar one?
No. No,
they
because
didn't.
They had more people in LeGrand. See, we didn't have very many employees in the union, because that is a small place.
I see. So
I think it was only about 1,400 population in the union.
And so that was the way you knew it was safe to go in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Did at any time, was that ever not in the window?
Mm-hmm. We never had, never had any problem. And they always told you, if anyone came in and demanded money, to give it to them. And we always had one package of money that was marked.
How was it marked?
I don't know how they marked it, but it was marked somehow or other, so they knew, and that could be traced.
Did everybody have a bag of money at their window, or was there one bag of money that you would give?
Oh no, every morning we could go in. We had to memorize a lot of numbers, and it would take two to go into the vault. Like, I'd open up my window, and I knew, like on paydays, I'd need more money. And so maybe I'd need $2,000 or $3,000, or maybe $4,000 or $5,000, depending on what big a payday it was. And I would know part of the vault signal, you know, to dial to dial.
The combination.
And then my supervisor would know the other part. And that was changed every 6 months. You had to renew it. You couldn't write it down. You had to memorize it.
You did have to memorize
mm-hmm.
it. Mm-hmm. Do you still have any of those numbers in your memory today?
No.
They don't last.
No.
Mm-hmm. But you changed them every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was referring to is this bag of marked money.
Oh.
Was there just one bag of marked money for
just
every...
one little package, and it had, I don't know what, it had several little, you know, several pieces of cash in there, but I don't know just what.
But it, there was just one marked bag.
Uh-huh.
And so, you no matter it, how many tellers there were, if you were told...
Each one had their own.
They did have their own marked
uh-huh.
bag.
Yeah.
And where would you keep that, for example, at
well,
your teller?
It had... See, you had a window that opened and had little spaces like a knife and fork drawer, you know, divided.
And like a cash drawer then.
Like a cash drawer, uh-huh, and then you had, and you usually kept your marked money in the last one because you didn't use that. To,
did everybody keep it in the same place?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. And you say at no time you didn't have to worry about going in the bank then.
Mm-hmm.
And you never were robbed.
Mm-hmm. Never did.
How about the, let's talk about that house in Union. Now, when I visited your neighbor yesterday, she pointed out that house that you lived in Union.
Great big old 8-room house.
That's a monster house.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, how did you come by a big house? Did you buy that house?
Yes. Paid $3,000 and some cash for it. My husband... We knew he had a job in Union, was going to move in Union 1945, and he saw that house, and he liked it, and it had the whole block of land, you know. And so he bought that, and we paid cash for it, and then we had a carpenter. It didn't have, it had a sink in the kitchen, and it had a pantry. And at one end of the pantry, he'd had something that was nice. It had a kind of a cabinet there with shelves in it. And at the bottom, it was a screen And it opened into the basement, and that was cool, and the cool air would come up there and keep things cool in that.
Kind of like your own air conditioning
yeah.
in the house?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you say your husband built that?
No.
It was built into the house already?
Yeah, uh-huh.
How was it that you say he just liked that house? Was that house expensive by standards of that day? Was that a deal?
It wasn't too expensive. The little old lady that lived there was getting pretty old, and she wanted to get a smaller place, and she wanted to sell it. So I think we paid, I don't know, something a little over $3,000 or something like that. And when we sold it for about $7,500.
And you say you paid cash for that house, so
mm-hmm.
you just had this money saved up
mm-hmm.
and paid for it outright.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a mortgage.
No.
How many rooms was it?
8 rooms.
What did you do with all those rooms?
We had 3 big bedrooms upstairs, and they all had, 2 of them had places where you could have a stove up there. And so in one of the front bedrooms, Jerry and Dale put a heater in there. So sometimes we'd want to go up there while we'd build a fire. And then it also had a little outdoor place just about wide enough to put a cot that you could step out the door and look down in the yard and everything.
We're continuing the discussion with Mamie Jones, April 30th, 2005. So you were telling me about these other rooms downstairs, or the uses you had for these other rooms in that 8-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm. Then we had a big dining room. So we had a big, and we had a big cupboard where I could keep my dishes, and had 2 big drawers down below where I could keep my tablecloths and things in it, you know. So we used the dining room a lot. I had a nice set of dishes. So
did Jerry and her husband live with you in this house?
No.
No. So what about all those other rooms then? How'd you keep that house?
Well, my mother-in-law used to come, and she lived with us quite a bit of the time, and so she lived upstairs in one of the houses, in one of the rooms. Uh-huh. And then, of course, when we had company, we had a place up there for them.
Sounds almost like a hotel.
Almost. And then I used to do lots of sewing. I made the girls' clothes and everything. I put a sewing machine up there in the room where it had a stove. And a lot of times I could go up there and do my sewing.
What about the yard? Did you do another garden in this?
I enjoyed doing the yard, so I usually mowed the lawn and took care of the lawn and worked in the garden and raised chickens. I always raised chickens.
Did you have a garden at this house?
In Union?
Yes.
Yes.
What did you raise there besides chickens?
Oh, we raised peas and turnips and parsnips and radishes and lots of corn.
You favored corn?
Uh-huh. And squash, little acorn squash and different kinds of squash.
Now, by this time, in Union, I assume that you did have a refrigerator, maybe even a freezer by that time.
Yes, uh-huh.
Did that change the way you did your canning routine?
That helped a lot because, and you could, like when the chickens would get old enough to, you know, you wanted to kill and dress them up, you could do that and put them in the freezer. And different things like that you could keep in the freezer, like asparagus. We had fresh asparagus out there that grew wild.
Did you slaughter your own chickens?
Oh, yes.
Who did that?
Me.
You? How'd you do that?
Put their head on a chopping block and take a hatchet and chop off their head.
What would you, many people may not realize that today, that
yeah, I know it.
That's
no.
how you did that. So what?
But you had to.
There was no way, you didn't pay somebody to come and do that.
Mm-mm.
What happened next after you cut the chicken's head off? Then what happens?
Well, then you had to scald the chicken.
What is that?
Put it in scalding water and pull off the feathers. And
how long would that chicken sit in the water?
Oh, not very long. You know, you just dig in there and get it, be sure you get all the feathers wet, and then they'd just pull right off. And then you'd pick out the pin feathers, and then you'd...
What are the pin feathers?
They're the little feathers that are just starting, you know.
Would there be a lot of those?
Not too many, a few.
And did you do this with your hand, or did you have an instrument to do that
with? Well, I think
you
used a little things that you...
Tweezers.
Uh-huh.
Then what? Then what happens with the chicken?
Well, and then you had to cut off the legs and open them up and take the entrails out and discard those. You buried them or, you know, did something with those. And wash your chicken good and it's ready to cook.
Now then, could you freeze that chicken at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you could wrap it up and keep it for a while.
What did you wrap it up with?
I don't remember exactly. We had regular freezer, what they call freezer paper, kind of a heavy, sort of waxed on one side. And before we had a freezer at home, they had what they call lockers at the meat market and places, and you could take and put your things, you could go in there. And
did they have a locker in Union, or was this in LeGrand?
In Union.
They did have one there.
Uh-huh.
And this was your freezer before you had a freezer?
As before we had a freezer, but after we had a freezer we didn't use it, but for a while we did. You'd have to go in there and, oh, it'd be so cold, and we'd have Jerry stop, get something out of the freezer. She hated it.
What did you do? You rented this space,
mm-hmm,
in the freezer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there various sizes of them? Did some?
I don't think so. I think they were all just like boxes, you know, stacked in there. I think they're all the same size.
Yeah, and you had your own space in this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you trade or sell any of this produce and merchandise or items that you got out of your garden when you went to Union?
About the only thing that we ever sold, we gave most of it away, but we did sell a little sweet corn because that was really popular. The sweet corn that we grew, people really liked it.
Did you have a barn in Union? Was there a barn on that lot?
Big old red barn, uh-huh. And it had the stalls for the horses, and then in the back it had a door for a carriage house. Then it had a kind of a cellar-like. I don't know what they stored in that. We never did use it, but there was a place there. Then we had another little building there that we kept feeding things in for the animals and the chickens and the...
What other animals did you have besides chickens there?
Well, we had a little pony there for a while, and then later we let some little 4-H girls put their sheep there during the summer.
Did you have any other livestock there yourself then?
No. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Did you use the barn for anything else besides that?
Mm-hmm.
Was there indoor bathrooms, mm-hmm, or did you have an outhouse at this place?
Well, we had an outhouse, had a three-holer,
uh-huh,
but we had our own bathroom.
It was already plumbed inside by,
yeah,
then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, were the outhouses functional? They just weren't being used?
No, they weren't being used. The only time they were used was like if the kids were out and they're playing outside and needed use.
Didn't want to come indoors?
Yeah.
So
it was a nice outhouse. It had a, like I said, it had a three-holer, had two bigger ones, and down below had the little one. And then in front of it, it had a lattice came out, and it had a lattice wall in front of it, so it was quite attractive.
Did you still have that when the house was sold and you came back to LeGrand? Or were you required to do anything with that over the years?
No, we weren't required to do anything with it. We just
So when you sold the house, it was still there.
Yeah.
You've said there was no hospital in Union.
No, you had to go to LeGrand, to Grand Ronde Hospital. And we had a doctor there for a little while, but he became so popular, and he was called into LeGrand, that he moved into LeGrand. So we didn't even have a doctor in Union. Just Ann Stenfield, I think, is, you know, was the one that, didn't she contact you or something?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Her husband was a doctor. He was a really good doctor.
Was he the doctor that was in Union? Was he in Union at that time, or you? That's where they lived.
That's where they lived at first, and then they moved into, they bought a place up on N Street they live in, and moved into LeGrand.
So you weren't talking about him as the doctor in LeGrand?
No. Well, I didn't. I had used to have a doctor in LeGrand occasionally, but I was never sick, so I didn't need
right. But you had said this doctor in Union moved to LeGrand, and that left you without a doctor. And
yeah.
Were there any buildings in Union then that might not be there now? I've heard there was a bowling alley in Union. Mm-hmm. Do you recall that?
No, there was no bowling alley when I lived there.
How about this Centennial Hotel? Do you know about the Centennial?
The old hotel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever stayed there?
No, but I ate there when it was popular. It was quite. It was a nice hotel.
Tell me about it.
And then later, I think it was put into apartments, and we had two people. The Davis Cattle Company was a big cattle outfit between LeGrand and Union. There were two brothers that had it, R.B. and Pete. Pete was quite a character, but they later then made this hotel into apartments, and he lived there. Oh, they had different things in there. Sometimes they had a beauty school, or a beauty, not a school, but a where you go in and get your hair done and things. But it wasn't run as a regular, like a hotel. It was a real pretty building. And it was right on the creek, Catherine Creek, close by there. But, located.
You say you used to go there for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a would that be considered an elegant place to eat? Or?
Yes, it was a nice place. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But that was in the earlier days. Later on, they didn't use it at that. They later a young couple took it over and did ceramics. Used it as put ceramics in it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your husband. Now, did you say that you moved to LeGrand because he was working in Union? Or, I'm sorry, did you say you moved to Union because he was working at this hardware store?
Mm-hmm.
Zimmerman's. Mm-hmm. What was his business relationship? Was Zimmerman's...
It was a hardware store, and they sold hardware and paint and wallpaper.
Now there was one in LeGrand also.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
Now, did the same people own this store?
Yes, uh-huh.
Did your husband work for them?
Yes, Doyle Zimmerman, uh-huh.
I see. And do you know why, there isn't one any longer in LeGrand. No. Did your husband have a business relationship with them, or was he an employee?
Well, they kind of put him in out there as manager. Uh-huh. He just managed it.
How long did he do that? Mm-hmm. Did he retire out of that?
Yeah.
When he that was his final job?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, his final job later on was taking the mail. He hauled the mail from Union to Cove and dropped it off, whatever was mail in at Cove, and then he'd take that from Cove into LeGrand, and then in the morning he'd go in and get the mail from from LeGrand and bring it out to Union.
So he was, he like a contract carrier. He wasn't a postman, but he did world delivery.
Yeah.
They still have people who do that.
I don't know what
they do. No, they do. My parents have one.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they're not really mailmen.
No, uh-huh.
And that's the kind of job that your husband did?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He liked that.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'd go with him, and we'd, you know, they'd take the evening paper and he'd poke it into their mailboxes along the line.
Was that a different job? Did he get paid for delivering the paper as well, or was that just a service?
That was just a service. Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't working for the paper as well?
No. Uh-uh.
Did people get their paper by the mail at that time?
Mm-hmm. They had a little newspaper, and they printed a little newspaper there and
in
put
Union?
All the local news in, you know, if you had somebody to your house for dinner, or went to somebody else's house for dinner.
You mean in Union they had their own little paper?
Uh-huh.
How often did it come out?
Weekly, I believe.
Weekly?
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever in it?
Oh, yes, several times.
Mm-hmm. And you say they told you who had dinner where? And
oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Who took a big trip?
Oh, yes. Any little piece of news like that was interesting at that time.
Would you use that to keep up with your neighbors and people you knew? Did your husband work for Zimmerman's in LeGrand before he went out
mm-hmm.
to?
Yeah.
What was he doing at the store in LeGrand?
Well, it was a hardware store and painting.
But was he a salesperson, or did he manage that
no,
store?
No, he was just he just worked there for the manager.
Now, when he took the job in Union, was Zimmerman's already there, or
mm-hmm.
did they build it then?
No, it was there, and the people that were there, I can't think of what happened to them. They went into the service or something, and there was an opening there, so that's how come my husband went out there.
Could you say that again? He saw that big house?
Uh-huh, and he thought that was great to have it, so he bought it. And I remember being in the store one day, and in the bank one day, and some man came in there and said, "There's that Jones out there. He says he owns all that property. He doesn't need it." And my boss was right there, of course, and listened to it, you know. He got a big kick out of it.
Did you know he had bought that house? When you heard that, did you already know
oh,
you
no,
had bought that
house? I'd already lived there then.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. So they were just teasing you for being in that big house.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, what made you decide to move back to LeGrand after that? I assume you and your husband were both retired then.
Yes.
You
yeah.
said you had to retire at 65.
At 65, I had to retire. And we had bought a little house in LeGrand before we moved there. I was a believer of buying savings bonds, and I used to buy quite a few. Always bought one every month, and I had quite a few savings bonds. So I had enough money to make a down payment.
For example, you got a savings bond every payday?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be how it worked?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you held it for 10 years, you know, and then it paid out quite a bit. So I, at one time, I had a little heart problem, and Jerry told me, she said, "Mother," she said, "this big old house is too much for you." And you said, "that little house is for sale." I said, "why don't you buy it?" And so I looked into it, and it was in the process. The woman had passed away, and of course her heirs were anxious to get their money out of it. And the lady that was in charge of it told me what they wanted. $7,550 is what they wanted. But she said, "if you really want it," she said, "you add a little bit to that." So I put $35, 7,000, $535 on it, and I've got it. And I happen to have enough savings bonds to make a down payment, and then I got a building and loan, you know, on it, and I rented it out for $75 a month because I wasn't living into it, so I rented it out $75, and it practically paid for itself.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. And so then that's where I lived until I moved over here. It was a nice, cozy little house, really warm and nice. It's well insulated and close in town, and really a nice place.
Has that neighborhood changed since then? Did that change over the years after you moved there?
That neighborhood there? I don't know that it changed while I was there or not. It was there. We lived close to there was an ice cream place on the corner and a paint store across the corner from that. And then kitty corner, there was a grocery store. So we lived in a nice neighborhood.
You didn't have far to go for simple items to keep around the house. Tell me about this soap making again.
This what?
Let's discuss your soap making.
Oh.
Again. I think that we do have on tape already how you made it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about selling it. When did you first start selling that soap?
Well, we had a senior center, similar to what we have here. They started one, and they had a little corner room that they used for store. And so I would put two bars of that, my homemade soap, in a little bag. And I tried selling it 50 cents a bar, but it didn't sell. So I'd put two bars in a bag and put a dollar on it, and I'd sell it. So I'd go in and
Now, what, it didn't sell at the cheaper rate, but when it went up to a dollar, it sold well?
Well, of course, it had two bars in it. So,
right.
So I sold quite a lot of soap to the senior.
Now, you got some of the money from the sale of that soap?
Well, I got all of it except I paid 10% to the office for them selling it.
And that's how they made their money to carry on their operations?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a little lucrative business on the side for
mm-hmm.
you?
Huh?
Did you do well with that on the side?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, some of those people thought that soap was just wonderful. My neighbor back then, he had skin cancer. And so I had another neighbor over there, and she thought my homemade soap did wonders, you know, cure anything. So she told Orville, she said, you get some baby soap and use it. So he got some of it, and he washed his face good twice a day with it. And next time he went to the doctor said, I don't know what you're doing. And he said, you keep on doing it, because it helped it a lot.
And what was his name? You said it was Orville.
Orville Saylor.
Orville Saylor.
Mm-hmm.
And
Orville and Billy Saylor.
Did they... He wasn't cured by this soap, but it did his skin well? Is that what you mean?
It did. It helped it.
Mm-hmm. Do you sell that soap today?
Hmm?
Do you sell that soap today?
No, I don't today. I have a friend in Portland that makes it and sends it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jerry, she didn't give you a bar, did she?
Yeah, she did.
Did she?
Yeah, I have a bar. I have a bar of that soap and the bar that your daughter's business makes, or her daughter's business makes.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I think your soap is better.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. Uh-huh. I liked it more.
One of the girls that worked in the office, I gave her a bar. Said she never used soap on her face. You know, a lot of people used to use cold cream and never wash their face with soap. Well, I've always washed my face with soap and water. But anyway, she said, I just feel squeaky clean.
Did you, was this a project that you enjoyed doing, or
I enjoyed doing it.
But you made some money on it.
Made a little bit of money on it, not much, but a little bit, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I used recycled grease, which this friend of mine in Portland, he buys, he buys special olive oil and different things like that. He makes wonderful soap.
What did you make your soap out of?
I used the recycled grease. I'd have people say to me, you know, if they were fried something and they had a little grease, so I'd pour it in a jar and save it for me. One man used to bring me several little cans of grease, and I'd take and put it in a larger kettle and pour boiling water over it and stir it around good, and then I had a little cupboard on the outside of my house on the wall, and I'd put it out there, and that cupboard, it'd solidify, and I'd take and pour that water off and do that a time or two. Then I'd run it through a little sieve to take out any particles or anything like that, so I'd have nice clean grease to use to make my soap with.
Was it expensive to make?
No.
How many bars would you make at a time?
I think it was 18.
How long, did it take them long to sell? You say it was popular.
No, it didn't take it very long to sell. It sold pretty good.
Did you make other items for the Senior Center or the American Legion to sell?
Oh yes, we made a lot of things for the American Legion. We made Africans and sewing bags and what they call ditty bags. Did you ever have a ditty bag?
No, I didn't.
They were 12 by 14 inches.
What were they made of?
Out of just gingham or material. And each veteran was given a ditty bag to put his belongings in, you know. Some of them would have throwaway shaver and maybe comb and toothbrush and toothpaste and you know, a few items that they used, they'd give them one of those.
Were these for veterans that were in the hospital or the home?
No, in the veterans hospital.
In the veterans hospital.
And then about every so often we'd make cookies and put them in a coffee can and send them over to the veterans hospital. And, you know, they have their own poppies. And they pay 2 cents. See, the American Legion poppy makes, American Legion poppy is handmade. And they paid 2 cents each for the veterans that were in the hospital to make those. And they sell them on poppy days. Like this year it's in May, I don't know, I got a letter not very long ago. They sell those poppies and then they use that for charity work.
But these veterans got paid so much to make them?
2 cents a piece. But then they were doing that nothing, you know. They're just in the hospital. There wasn't very many things they could do, so that was one thing they could. They'd earn a little bit of money. Kind of a plastic little...
The VFW. Say that again, the VFW poppy.
They're kind of plastic.
It sounds like the American Legion poppy is a better quality then.
Yeah, huh. Well, and since it's homemade too, it makes it nice.
How about these Afghans? Was this a group effort or did you make them on your own?
No, we made them together and then other times made them on our own. And they were given to the veterans when they went to the hospital. Because they could put them down on the bed if they wanted to lie down on the bed. They could put those down, you know, to keep the bed from getting soiled. And if they were cold, they could have two if they needed them. And then another thing they gave them was little sewing kits so they could mend things. And had a needle and a couple kinds of thread. Had two or three needles probably. One or two safety pins and a few little buttons. They put those in.
Now these were kits that you made up as part of your auxiliary work for them?
Mm-hmm.
What else did you do with the American Legion?
Well, they at Christmas time. Well, in the fall, you know, everybody has a bazaar. So in the fall, they'd have a bazaar to sell whatever people donated and everything. Whatever was left over, they took it to the Veterans Hospital. And they put it in a kind of a gift shop, and the veterans that were in the hospital could go into the gift shop and pick up items for their family at home, if they, like if they had children, you know, if you had dolls or whatever you happened to have. And they'd pick out things for their children or family, and the ladies would Christmas wrap them, and then the men would take them down and mail them for them, all three. We used to do a lot of good things for the Legion.
You belonged to that for a long time.
I still belong. Mm-hmm.
But there's no, the tribe has a American Legion post.
Uh-huh, but they don't have any here. They have a VFW, but they don't have a...
Well, what I mean is the tribe has one, but it's out of town.
Yes, uh-huh.
You said that your husband had a clothing store in La Grande for a while.
For a little while, uh-huh, but see, Trotter's, which was a men's clothing store, was a real good, and it was had been established a long time, so he couldn't compete, because he didn't have the money to buy the kind of clothing, so he didn't, he closed it up. He didn't make any money on it. I think he lost a little money on it, but he didn't make any money on it.
Did he buy that store from somebody else, or did he...
I think he just started it. I think he just rented this little building and started it.
I heard that the store was over by the place they call Ten Depot.
Hmm?
I hear that store was over by the restaurant they call Ten Depot in La Grande.
Oh. Now,
is that where that...
I see, Ten Depot, I don't remember.
Well, I think that used to be called The Wheel.
Oh.
Nope. I'm getting that wrong, too.
Yeah, that isn't right.
Was it down, I think it was down by the post office somewhere. How about that? No? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we better scratch this part of it. But you say he didn't have that very long because
he couldn't compete,
with the other store?
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
Was it, is that what took him to Zimmerman's next?
I don't know if he went to Zimmerman's from there or not. I don't remember.
What else did your husband used to do when you came to La Grande at first?
I guess I don't get to remember just exactly.
Mm-hmm. When you moved to La Grande and took your father's house, did he, I might be getting this wrong, he didn't work for the railroad, did he?
My dad.
That was your dad that worked for the railroad?
He did at one time, but he was getting pretty old and he didn't then. But I think Lavelle worked for the